Good morning, everyone. We would like to thank you for your interest in Grupo Nutresa and connecting to the results conference for the third quarter 2016. I have the table, Carlos Ignacio Gallego, CEO of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, and myself, Alejandro Jiménez, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation by the CEO and the Vice President of Corporate Finance about the results for the past quarter, we'll start a Q&A session. The answers we received through the webcast will be read and as is, those who have connected to the conference in English, we'll appreciate it if you send your questions using the chat option in the webcast. Finally, those of you who want to follow the slides which are in English by default, you can download them from the slide itself. I will leave you with Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa.
Good morning. Welcome to the conference of results for the close of the third quarter of 2016. To start with, I'd like to show you to go to slide two, where we will share the main events of interest for the third quarter. First of all, I am pleased to tell you that for the sixth year in a row, Grupo Nutresa is part of the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, and we are the second worldwide company in the food sector, and we obtained the highest score worldwide in four aspects of the economic dimension, such as business conduct codes, consumer relationship management, health and nutrition, and risk and crisis management. We're also the best in two aspects of the social dimension, social reporting and labor practice indicators and human rights. In four aspects of the environmental dimension, water-related risks, environmental reporting, packaging, and raw material sourcing. That is the best in 10 out of the 25 aspects measured by this indicator. This is a very important achievement, and as we've said in previous conferences, it is clearly related to the possibility of producing long-term value for the Grupo Nutresa. Secondly, in the lower part of the slide, I show the recognition of the Merco Companies and Leaders Monitor, which placed Grupo Nutresa the second most reputable company in the country after Grupo Bancolombia. Reputation is a consequence of everything that we do in the company, and this is a very important fact also for the group and all its related companies. Now to slide number three, as the third interesting event during the quarter, well, I could tell you that because of the special conditions in Venezuela, which are added to a high rate of inflation and volatility of the rate of exchange, we've decided to classify Grupo Nutresa's investment in Venezuela as a financial instrument within the framework of the application of financial information application in Colombia. This is a purely accounting aspect because of operations, the company property, employee relationships, and suppliers and customers have no changes as a result of this decision. With this accounting classification, we provide the investors clearer and more precise information because it is not exposed to the high volatility of economic factors in that country. This decision should be said that if conditions change in that country, we'll report the investment as a subsidiary again, like we've been doing before. I'd like to ask José Domingo Penagos, our CFO, to tell us more details about the effects of this change, as you can see in slide number three.
Yes, Carlos Ignacio, very good morning to all. In fact, in this slide number three, you'll see the effects that this classification, accounting classification in the financial statements of the Grupo Nutresa and in our meat business. The first thing I'd like to point out is the date, as of when. It is after October the 1st. In practice, what this means is that, of course, the financial statements that were released at the end of last week still do not have any
show any effects of this decision. These will be shown in the financial results of the last quarter, but so far doesn't have any changes. The second thing specifically, in what account, what is the accounting for Venezuela as of now? It is in the other financial assets, non-current assets. This is going to be reflected because of the fair value. When will we have then any revenue from Venezuela? When we decree and distribute any dividends for that operation, then at the time we will reflect that revenue in that account that I just mentioned. And the other thing is, here show this in slide number 3, a chart with the impact on the major accounts in our financial statements, both for the group and for the cold cuts. I will read and explain some of them. We have the, for example, in total sales, I got about September 16, 2016, 6.4 million pesos in Colombia. I represented 187,000 Colombian pesos at the rate of exchange. It reflects 2.9% of total sales of Grupo Nutresa can come from Venezuela. For international sales, it has a bigger weight. Those weigh 7.5%. EBITDA for the entire group is 3% from Venezuela. As those 23,700 million, the margin is practically the same, 12.5 for the group and 12.6 for Venezuela. And the impact on net income is minus 0.09. It's 2,800 billion pesos, Colombian pesos. What I said in the assets, it has very little impact compared to the 13.5 billion pesos. Venezuela is 84,700 and 0.06. And the liabilities is very same, and also in equity. With the effect on equity, the equity that we have in Venezuela at the cut of September 30, 2016, is 0.7% of the total of the equity of the entire group is very, very small in the balance sheet accounts. That's for the entire group. For the cold cuts, it has higher share. Total sales is 12.7%. And 187 out of 1.4 billion in revenue for the cold cuts. Here we have higher share in international sales. The cold cuts in international business has up Panama and Venezuela, but it's mainly Venezuela. 68.7% of that international sales come from that country, and it's 12.2% of the EBITDA. Of course, it has more importance for the business, but in the total of the group, it really doesn't have as much impact on this classification for the profit and loss, and the participation has very little participation in the account, in the balance sheet. We are very much open to any questions that you might have during the Q&A. With this explanation, I'd like to tell you about slide number 4, to tell you about our business performance. I will now talk about the quarter and then about the accumulated at the end of the third quarter. Colombian sales is 1,372,600 million with a growth of 7%. As you can see, this growth comes from the combination of a moderate growth by volume, 0.3%, and 6.9% in prices. This 6.9 is actually the combination of three things. First, the changes in the sales mix. Second, the launch of innovations of higher added value. And third, of increases in prices in some references, in some channels and some geographies. During this third quarter, we maintain the growth trend that we saw in previous periods. However, the price increase is lower than during other quarters because now, we compared to previous year's data, where we have some adjustments for that variable. So that we have all growth in all businesses except the ice cream business. In the gold cards, as you can see, we have a growth of 5.1%. Because of price elasticity of price demand, we have a small decrease in volume. We have said that we're going to protect the profit margin. Our price variable is only one. We've made major efforts internally in productivity and expense control, but in some categories we are receiving that impact from the decrease in volumes. In biscuits, we have a very good behavior in sales. In general, the main brands in the category have very good performance. In the chocolate business, has excellent growth. It is a business that is high in sales, and as we see in profits, has had a very good trend in this case, driven by the innovation and very significant growth in snacks. In coffee, we have an increase higher than average, mainly because of the product mix, because actually we have not done any significant price increases. In retail food, there's been a positive growth in sales, which is helped by opening new stores. In ice cream, as we saw, there's a decrease compared to the previous quarter of the year of the same of the price year, due to the rains and the price demand elasticity in that category. We increased some prices. Pasta has still an excellent trend, growing in price and in dollars and in volume. With respect to international sales, our overseas sales represented 38% of our total sales of the for the group in the quarter. We had $285.1 million with a growth of 3.1% in dollars. It's 841.4 million pesos, Colombian pesos. We also grew 3.1. In this case, the percentage is matched because in the quarter, the devaluation is practically zero. The cold coach without Venezuela grew at 7.8%. When we include Venezuela, we have that minus 3.4%. In biscuits, we have a significant growth driven by a very good behavior of our operations in the U.S. In the chocolate business, we see double-digit growth in general with good behaviors in Mexico and Peru, and a good behavior also for exports from Colombia. TM Look has a positive growth because of its good behavior in international sales. In Chile, with something in this, you know, the situation of the country, we have some results, commercial results have been practically flat. For coffee, we saw fewer exports due to less purchases from U.S. customers. And in consumer retail food, we have a good growth in dollars, although it was a pretty rainy quarter in Central America and the Caribbean. So, in slide number 5, when we combine that growth of sales in Colombia at 7% and the international sales at 3.1%, we have sales for $2,214,000,000, growing 5% in this accumulation. We say the growth of chocolates and pasta with growth of over 10%, very significant in a very interesting recovery for your chocolates and for the less good size in this ice cream, which combines the contractions in volume due to we manipulated prices and some weather factors. The sales of innovation in Grupo Nutreza represented in this quarter 18% of total sales, and they are still a very important driver for the group's growth. We believe that this quarter commercially achieved what we wanted, which is to protect our profit level and also to protect the volumes. And we've achieved that in the midst of a very challenging environment. When we look at the accumulated figures, going back to slide number 6, we see Colombian sales for $3,923,200,000 with growth of 10.5%. Organic sales are $3,853,800.
They grew at 8.5%. As you can see, the volume is practically flat. Any price increases accumulated is 8.8.
Now comparable to a price increase lower in the first quarter.
And in accumulation, we have a growth in all businesses. That is also very important for the group.
We want to highlight that the model of innovation and the powerful distribution and diversified distribution of the group, the brand strength have enabled us to continue growing sales and balance what we need between profits and growth without any negative effects for the future of the group. With respect to overseas international sales, the accumulated was 38.9% of total sales of the group. In the accumulated, we have sales of $815.5 million, growing 1.3%, and 2,496,000, growing at 7.1%, especially because of the devaluation of the first quarter, the first two quarters. International operations have positive behaviors when measured in local currency, and in this case in Chile, the decrease in dollars can be explained totally by the rate of exchange. We have 0.6% growth. And in coffee, the negative for coffee is because of lower export volumes to customers in the U.S. mainly, which we already mentioned in our comments about the quarter. Combining these sales, local sales, international sales, we have at the end of the third quarter total sales for $6,619,300 million, with a growth of 13%, an organic growth of 11.7%, and a growing in all businesses. This growth is the result of good behavior of sales in Colombia, as we mentioned, and a strategy for internationalization that we've been implementing for several years, which diversifies our sources of income for the group in the major economies around the region. And the total, the innovation sales, represents 17.2% of total sales. And the cold cuts without Venezuela is 7.7%. In slide number 8, we see by region the accumulated sales for Nutresa Group. We see that international sales are 38.9% of total sales. Colombia is the first geography with 61.1% of the sales. The second geography is Central America, representing 9.6% of the total sales. And the third and fourth places are shared by Chile and the U.S. with exactly the same percentage, 8.2%. If we excluded Venezuela, which represents 2.9% of total sales, international sales would be 37%, and Colombian sales would be 63%. In slide number 9, we see at the last cut, at the last measurement we have, what our market share is like in Colombia. The weighted share slows, goes down a little bit, reduced by 0.2% compared to the same quarter previous year. This decrease is explained in, because of a decrease of 0.1% in cold cuts, where we maintain a very good position, sound position, 73.3, but it is going down 0.1% by biscuits because we get 55.4% with a decrease of 0.3%. In chocolates, we grew in confectionery, and hot chocolates, in nuts, and a slight decrease in milk modifiers. In coffee, there's a slight decrease in roasted, soluble, and ground. In Chile, we had some recovery in all categories where we participate, also an instant drinks and a small increase of 0.7. So in the pasta, although he lost 0.2% in the weighted average. With respect to raw materials and going to profits, slide number 10 shows the Grupo Natureza Commodities Index. This index for the last quarter has increasing trend, especially because increasing reference prices for beef and pork, sugar, oils, fats, and coffee. There are positive trends in cocoa and wheat, but I want to mention that I want to anticipate some positive effects that we'll see in our profits for the chocolate business are not due to the cocoa yet, but rather to the productivity efforts, very important ones that we have been making in this business. It's important also to mention that this index that we're showing here is the index in dollars, and locally it's important to keep in mind the effect that is added because of the changes in the rate of exchange in the currencies. With this positive outlook in commercial terms, I'd like to ask José Domingo Penagos to share with us the comments about profits. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio, again. Good morning. So let's go to slide number 11. Here you can see the profits for the entire group, EBITDA and operating margin. In principle, you know, at the beginning, just a general comment. We have an EBITDA similar to the previous quarter. It's within the range, and this is it's in the lower part of the range, but this is mainly due to the effects of the increases in raw materials that we just mentioned in the previous slide. And because of the impact of the flat in growth in volumes, when we have that flat growth, we don't have the ability to dilute the increase in prices. The impact of raw materials, especially in prices, after all the problems of productivity and efficiency, getting in this range is a very significant achievement for these impacts. This is a general rule. By business, first of all, we have the cold cuts, which shows exactly what I just mentioned. It has lower sales volumes, and it has very significant prices in raw materials. The guts, the pork, the beef, raw materials grow up, volumes remain flat, and that has a very important effect on the EBITDA. You can see that we have 9.2%. It doesn't come to double digits with a significant decrease compared to the same period the previous year. In the biscuits, we have a very good margin. It's slightly higher than the same quarter previous year. It's in the upper part of the range. It has very good business dynamics, very good expense control, and still has a very good margin, very good profits for this quarter. Chocolates, Carlos Ignacio mentioned a little bit the effects. The EBITDA margin is very good, 13.7, and has a very important growth, almost 74%. We have this open recovery compared to the previous year. It has very good expense control, and efficiencies in productivity allow it to come to this amount, this percentage, and it doesn't have any effect from raw materials. So far, the EBITDA for raw materials, the effect of raw materials has been decreased. Cocoa and sugar, they haven't increased. Over the past few days, cocoa has been a little higher. It's still premature to say that it becomes a trend, but so far, when that commodity has been for 3 years in the upper part, we'll have very good profits for chocolates. We have had no effects from raw materials here. The next business is TM Look, which in general you can say that it has been affected by the low dynamics of the Chilean market. We have some projects going on both in Chile and in Mexico, and without those projects, the margin of 9% would be 10.3%. Coffee makes very sound, very sustained margin, 16.5%, interesting margin. But remember, this is a very high exportation intensive business. The higher the valuation, the more pesos per dollar. So when you have these revaluations, it has an impact on the revenue, and the income is directly the EBITDA. That's why it has a decrease, but it still remains in the, it's even above the range. It's very healthy percentages. We also have the retail food. Here we point out that it has an improvement compared to the previous quarter. Before it was the 13.5%. The effects were already discussed in previous conferences, the effect of inflation on the cost and expenses of our fixed time. We are very moderate in terms of prices along the chain, and that has an impact. However, we still have a margin above the average of the range. In ice cream, it's the it has a significant impact on the EBITDA. We have rains during long periods. The business has been making major efforts to improve efficiencies compared with products and prices to remain in that corridor, and it's in the upper part, but it has had a significant impact on the business dynamics because of the rains, and that's why the fixed costs, we can't control it. That's why we have had this type of margins almost during the entire year. I would like to highlight the growth in pastas. It's a significant growth in EBITDA. It improved about close to 7 basic points compared to the previous quarter. It's very sound business dynamics for pastas and throughout the countries, in all the areas in the country, in the different brands and references. This good business dynamics has been helpful to increase our margin. We have a quarter to complete of 267 million pesos in EBITDA with a margin of 12% in the lower part of the range, but still within the corridor. This is for the quarter. Let's go to the accumulated EBITDA. That's in slide number 12. I am not going to show it by business, as we already went that into the quarter. We can make some comments of a general nature, and we could say very good margin, 12.5%, very good, very good growth. It's almost double digit, 800,000 pesos, 9.7%. We've spoken about expense control, operating efficiencies, price control, and that maintained us or helped us keep a very good accumulated dynamics this last quarter in the lower part of the range, but that goes us good growth and good margin. So it's a general comment about that accumulated EBITDA. Let's go to slide that PNG, or the profit and loss for the quarter, slide number 13. You can see here that we always divide the analysis of the between operating and post-operating. In the upper part, we have sales for a quarter, which is with moderate growth, 5.5%. We see the effect of increases in costs. The costs grow above the revenue. I explained about the raw materials mainly. So this that is a 120 basic point decrease in our gross margin, and therefore net gross profit goes below the average, is only 2.5%. We achieve higher efficiency in expenses, administrative and general expenses, and sales expenses were less than average. We also have a difference of the rate of exchange. In this case, it's positive, basically because of the effect on the working capital. We could say a long position for working capital. It's more for the effect on our supplies than our accounts payable. We have increases in revenue when we have devaluation. We have expenses. The combined effect of these variables leads us to a decrease in operating profits of 2.1%. If we add to this the post-operating effects, mainly in debt, in which the reference rates have increased, in this case, they went from 6.7% to almost 10, 9.9%. We have, during this period, an increase of 320 basic points in our reference rates. It's practically the impact on the debt, the higher volume, because we acquired when El Corral has less comparable. So we have different rates, reference rates. This is a lower debt ratio. And when we add all these effects, the profit before taxes it decreases 20.6%, and therefore it decreases 14.6%. These are the financial statements for the quarter as reported. Let's go to slide number 14 to explain the accumulated figures. This is a very sustained accumulated. It's a very good first semester. We have a revenue, very good growth, double digits, shortening the distance between incomes and costs. The difference between, or in gross profit, is only 90 basic points. Very controlled inflation, growing 5.5%. Sales expenses very much in line with income. This allows us to have a double-digit growth in operating profits. We have a good revenue and operating lines going double digits. And after that, we have the burden of financial expenses, and we have a net profit of 313,000 million pesos, increasing 4%. I would point out in the post-op part the differences in rate of exchange. We also have the issue about monetary correction by Venezuela, because of our position in Venezuela is 33,000 million pesos negative as an expense. And lastly, a general comment about taxes. We have ordinary income tax with a very slight negative increase in a deferred positive taxes with excess of presumptive income, which could be used as tax shields in the future. These are the general explanations. A very good operating line in spite of the financial burden that we have, that growth in net profits. So let's conclude with slide number 15. We show you the debt level. In September, we had an indicator of 2.81 points. This indicator has been going down considerably and constantly. It allows us to reach our goal that we had told you of ending up with about 2.27 times by the end of the year. So let's say it has a very good behavior with this debt indicator. It's very sustained. The rate also was mentioned, some figures about the rate. The average rate for the end of September is 7.9%. We've had an increase in 274 basic points. The IPC, 298. These numbers you know about them. This is an important impact on the increase in our financial costs. Inflation is starting to give way a little, and although we don't have a major share in our organization. I'll show you the composition. This effect can be moderated in the future. This is the debt volume, the cost of the debt, and the debt indicator, or the debt ratio. And finally, the CapEx, or surely the accumulated that has been executed. We have a budget of 382,000 Colombian pesos. We have executed 188 until September. We have a significant accumulation for the last quarter, but it's very likely that we are going to execute the budget completely. So this is the end of our profits and our debt. I give the floor to Carlos Ignacio so he can tell us the expectations for the rest of the year. Thank you, Jose Domingo. We see then that for the rest of the year, we expect a positive sales performance, especially in Colombia, where the commercial dynamics continues to be strong. We believe that we're going to end with a good sales growth. The effects on the profits continue. We're working very heavily on our initiative for productivity in all businesses. We're going to use price variable, but much less than in the previous quarters, to close the year around 14% EBITDA that the group has decided to go for as a goal towards 2020. So we have projected a good end of the year commercially and finish the year with the EBITDA, within the EBITDA range. And I give the floor to Alejandro so that he can go to the Q&A. As we said, any questions through the webcast will be read verbatim. Those who are connected in English into this conference, we appreciate it if you send your questions to the webcast. Also, they will be read. And I'll now leave the operator with you for the indications for asking your questions. Thank you. We'll start the Q&A. Those who have questions, please. The star in your phone. And if you are using your loudspeakers, please lift your handset. We have a question from Andres Lopez. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio, Domingo, Alejandro. I have a couple of questions. The first is about 2017. We see several challenges for the company next year, especially in profits. Probably this year you will end in the lower range of the profitability corridor. Perhaps the price is not going to be the main driver in the company. So I'd like to understand whether the priority for you for 2017 is going to be improve your profitability for 2016, at the end of 2016, or are you going to try to maintain your market shares? Thank you, Andres. That is the first of the two that you told us you were going to ask. As we said in the outlook, we're going to close the year with a profits within the promised range for our Mega 2020. Next year is challenging, but Grupo Nutresa, in strategy, we always speak about profitable growth. So we hope to continue growing to achieve our mega of duplicated in the business by 2020. We're trying to maintain profit at adequate levels. And the market shares we have right now and the brand strength is what allows us to handle at the same time those two variables, to manage them. So we are going to defend profits where we have market shares that allow us to use that strength to make the price changes without affecting volumes. We will do so. And when we're not leaders, we'll try to grow the categories so that we can get the benefits of the growth of the category. It's going to be a challenging year. Every year will bring its own hardships, and we believe that the group is prepared. We've spoken a lot about the distribution networks, the way we reach the consumer. This year, as you can see, Colombia has contributed significantly to growth. Now, within the comments, I didn't mention that the last quarter we already absorbed all the effects that we had in Colombia from that transportation strike. That's already been absorbed. And we're prepared for some changes that might come due to variations. Sorry, I lost the signal. Will not affect the group significantly. So we have the next year, it would be better than this one. And specifically about the competitive environment, we see that in some categories you've lost share and that the price driver is less by this time. Have you seen any changes in the competitive environment? Have you competed in terms of price? Yes, obviously the environment is very challenging. You know the categories where Grupo Nutresa works are very exposed to free competition. When the country has inflation more than any competitor that is taking our share, it's the fact that the consumer has difficulties in distributing his money in the product that he wants. With our brand, we saw that that the effect on the volumes could be more severe than we've seen. We are actually growing in spite of the fact that we touch the price variable in almost every business. Now we have a part of fewer price changes, but with very good marketing and using our distribution network, which in most countries where we act is much better than the competitors, we can give a good battle and have a good year and grow and protect our profits. Thank you very much. Thank you, Andres. I will read a few questions that we've had through the webcast. I'm going to read the questions asked by Edgar Romero from BBVA. When you have profits and pay dividends on profits in Venezuela, what are we to expect in that dividend distribution? I'll give Carlos Ignacio the floor. Thank you, Edgar, for your question. I'd like to, first of all, as we mentioned during the introduction, that change is basically an accounting classification. It's different, but Venezuela is a market with per capita consumption higher than the rest of Latin America, where our brands are known and valued, and we see that as an opportunity for the future. Over the past several years, we've had a strategy in Venezuela of managing all our risks, identifying them, of remaining there to be the first in line when the country takes a more progressive economic path. So in the last few years, we have not capitalized the company from Colombia. We've reinvested our profits there. That has enabled us to not to distribute towards Colombia. I keep losing. Over the past several years, we haven't try to protect him to continue to have a committed team over there of caring for our brands and have them ready to take the opportunity when it arises. If we wanted to bring dividends over, we should follow the official system, the government system.
Está perdiendo la señal, ya no estoy en la sala. Eso me parece.
Ya volvió. And to conclude our Q&A, the EBITDA margin for the retail food has gone down from 17.15 to 14 in 2016. What can we expect from the profit levels?
nada, se fue la línea del todo. Se fue todo.
Se cayó
la llamada.
Se cayó todo,
era la última pregunta, pero de todas maneras hay que terminar.
Sí, pero ya es parte de ellos, o sea.
No tienen caso de
presentación.
No. Tú le marcarías directamente a la línea internacional.
Al número.
No, fíjate si ya termina. Una es que era la última pregunta.
Lo marca vos, miren. Lo marca normal, el lateral 8000, normal.
Que ya me van a conectar a la conferencia, pero entonces.
Sí, pero te conectan ahí a la inglés solamente a escuchar.
No, yo el inglés estaba bien, pero no tenía audio
español.
Traductor para que te metan bien.
I am the translator. Pardon? Yes, I need to be listening to you and the conference here. Los jefes ya acabaron, están esperando que nos volvamos a conectar. Gracias. Ok, ya tengo sonido de la sala.
Ya está bien.
No, pero no estoy oyendo lo mismo.
Señor, ¿qué me lo han pasado?
O sea, ya estás oyendo la sala, allá.
¿Y aquí?
¿Y vos? ¿Qué estás oyendo?
Welcome to the conference center. Please be prepared to provide the...
Yo lo que escuché.
What part of the campus is going to be executed this top part of the semester?
It's okay.
Thank you, Raganet. The campus we've had for several years.
Jairo, ¿no puede irse para allá? Sí, allá está bien.
Ya la vamos a sacar.
Hemos perdido 20 minutos.
That property for income. The other thing is, which had been authorized by the Superintendent of Industry and Trade to purchase some assets from cold facilities, and that's part of the million pesos which are included in that calculation. That's part of it. Thank you very much. Any other questions? We have a question from Jairo Agudelo. Good morning, Carlos Ignacio Guadalupe Alejandro. Two questions. One of the visions that must affected was the cold cuts in terms of profits in June and July. There was a very heavy impact from the transportation strike, which I'd like to know whether you have any measure. What might have been the EBITDA margin for that cold cuts if we hadn't had that strike? And after the strike, the indicators that the price did not go down enough and was maintained at high levels. So what did you do about that? My second question is about the division of TM Lucet, which the adjusted margin of Jose Domingo says was 10.3% for the third quarter, but it's still one of the lowest ones after the company's purchase. When it was the third quarter of 2013 compared to 2016. Have you seen any changes in TMLC which has decreased that margin? Why still below that 12%, which would be the consolidated minimum for the group? Thank you, Heidel. Let me give an answer to those questions. First, about the cold cut business, I'd like to tell you that the effect on the margin is not due to the transportation strike. It was actually the combination of several things. First, that the rate of exchange at present in Colombia have made it possible for there to be beef exports, live beef or in sacrifice, and that has increased our profits in Colombia. But the truck strike put some stress on it, but actually the increase in that is more related to that. The export has increased some exports of cattle, especially in the coast of Colombia, which is where exports are taking place from. But at the same time, within Colombia, in the first semester, we had the pork cost was lower. And what we've been seeing is that the price of pork went up.
and not only came to a similar level as international level, but it's slightly above currently. So because of a rate of exchange in international markets, beef went up, the cost of pork recovered, and the other component that slightly counteracts that is that chicken has had a little more favorable behavior. So there is a pressure on raw materials. We've been counteracting that with internal productivity work, with by importing beef when they are more channel, when they're more competitive, and with some integration exercises in which we can have our own cattle. But it is something which is not dependent on the transportation strike. That total for the group in the most critical month was could have affected 5% of the sales for the month, but it wasn't really determinant. The other factor that affects and could cause, as we said earlier, is that we made some adjustments to prices, which were necessary for the new cost environment. And it is a category that has a very high price demand elasticity. So there's lower volumes. So that what we see in profits is a combination of these factors. It wasn't due to the trucker strike. It's a business, like in the past, for example, chocolate, we had some negative effects, which over time we corrected. We expect that the cold cuts also over time, the profits will be different. Second, about Pierluc and its profits. Chile, over the past year, has been having a slower business dynamics. I'd like to point out that in that market, where the major chains are very important, we've also had a very high level of offers. A lot of supply in which we did not drive that, but we can't stand still because it would be losing all our shares. So it's less dynamic and a higher level of supplies. We're internally, we're working with our productivity plans to, especially next year, because the last quarter usually is not the one with the highest profits in the, for the entire group, especially next year, we can have profits closer to the range that we want for the group. But this is, in summary, low dynamics and high level of supplies, which we're counteracting with significant internal productivity measures. The CapEx level of 381 million pesos, how much has been executed so far until the end of the third quarter? 188,000 million pesos. Thank you very much. Any further questions? I have a question from Felipe Ubra. Thank you for a chance to ask a question. About the debt level and the prices that obviously a large percentage of the debt today is still floating. Do you have any plans to change that, which has affected our financial costs? And the other thing also has to do with repricing the debt, which sometimes it's 6 months or 12 months. So when do you think that the repricing of the debt is going to take place? Obviously, the situation is going down, but usually the financial cost takes a little time to react. Thank you. About the debt level, I would say, yes, we have. During the presentation, we said we had the impact of those rates of reference, but Let me tell you, by the type of rates, our one EBR 40 and 16% in IPC. What we've done since these interest rates pressure has arrived, we've tried to modify the short-term tranches. But right now, we have a very medium and long-term debt because of the acquisitions and some long-term tranches. And we're going after those debts that we had acquired 2 or 3 years ago. And the increases in rates of interest has affected the short-term tranches more than anything else. All the specific plans of reprofiling the entire debt for the short term, but for what we did for this year was the short-term tranches, we moving them towards, you know, to fit the flow cash flows for the future. About the effect of adjusting the IPC, we have close to the 16% of the IPC, everything that has to do with that variable. And that is reflected, but it's very difficult to foresee that that is going to happen in the next few weeks or months. And there's a breaking news with the IPC, and we think that the cost is going to be going down in the future, and we would have a different specific percentage, but we are at the cost limit, and what we will see is a moderation of the rates. Any questions to the teleconference? I have a question from Diego Rosas. Go ahead. Thank you. I have two questions. First is about reclassification of the investment in Venezuela. Will that have any effect on the P&L? And the second is, we've seen that there's a change of brand in El Corral. Is that having any effect on the retail foods or in the next few quarters? Let me the first one. The effect of the accounting reclassification in Venezuela is after it will take place when dividends will be decreed and distributed. But it has no associated loss, no impact on the P&L. And the second part that has to do with El Corral, I first of all like to say that what we are doing is what the brands do throughout their lives. They say they come up to date for the future. It has no major investment, and usually if we're going to open more stores, what you want to do is to have the brand totally current. These are very small changes where we update the logo, but there's nothing really significant. What we want to do is highlight the idea of the ingredients of the best quality, actually beef burgers, hamburger culture, the highest quality hamburgers, and having that image and the entire concept about El Corral all current, so that we can use that in the new openings and the remodelations of the stores. But it has no impact. It might have a positive impact in the future as we have better stores, and the brand perhaps would be the strength and the attraction that it really has. Thank you. Anything else? No more questions. We don't have anything else to the webcast either. So with this, we'd like to conclude the presentation results for the third quarter and the conference, and thank you all for being with us this morning. Thank you.